Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, and once again at SEMA with Chris. We're running around from booth to booth, grabbing some great interviews. Hopefully, you've been listening to the other shows we've had this week. We had our great our live show with the Optima guys, and then yesterday was our sort of booth to booth coverage, first day of coverage, and today is our second and last day. Let's get started right away. Let's run on over to Brembo. All right, let's kick things off with Brembo once again, our good friend Dan Sandberg, CEO of Brembo North America. Is that still right?
It's still right.
Like I
got up
like,
this morning, the paycheck was there, and it's still the same company.
You got paid this morning?
Yeah, I did, believe it or not.
That's fantastic.
We get paid on all holidays. Halloween is a holiday.
Okay, that's great. You guys got a great booth. Cool products again. I see you got some NSX stuff out there, which is a pretty exciting car.
I drove that car actually.
How do you like it?
At Pebble this year.
You did?
I like it. It's a different experience. It's a very controlled environment in the production car, not the race car.
Yeah.
It's really a slick car. I mean, there's a lot going on in that car, a lot of technology in that car that you don't really feel. But it's really, really, of course, it might have had something to do with driving in and out of the mountains, you know, down in Pebble and Monterey Peninsula and whatever. It makes it even a better
every
ride.
Every car feels awesome when you're doing that.
But it's fast, mean, and lean, but it's very, very controlled, you know, vehicle.
I was just talking to the guys with Acura about it, and my good friend Dave Merrick, who's heads up their design team, he's excited about it, and they were telling me, you know, it's got the turbo engine in the back, and then there's an electric motor on the transmission, and then two electric motors on the front wheels. So it can be all-wheel drive.
And that's the thing. I always pictured a hybrid was, like for the first 20 miles, it's electric, and then all of a sudden you hear the gas kick in and whatever. But it's not. It's a power assist situation.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've noticed this or if you could feel it when you're driving, but they're saying the electric motor on the transmission is there, and that kicks in on the low RPM, and it removes all the turbo lag.
Exactly.
So any turbo lag, that electric motor gives you that low-end torque.
It gives you that big torque boost, but you don't really feel it like in an engine where you kind of get thrown back all of a sudden. Very, very smooth, and that's that feeling of control you get. You get that feeling where, I don't want to say like the Weichel engine, which is no shifting at all, but you really get that feeling right out of the box that you have that full torque right when you
We're supposed to get one pretty soon in the next month. We're gonna test drive one, and then oddly enough, I was like, send me a Ridge Line as well, because there's something weird and wacky about it, and I kind of like the idea. I was like, send one. So here's the question, though.
You can put the car in the back of the Ridge Line.
I don't think the Ridge Line's that big. But that would be interesting. It'd
be kind of cool.
So when you get into these supercars we're seeing now, LaFerrari and NSX, do the braking systems, are they different? Do you have to regenerate power with braking systems? Or what are you guys doing?
For us, the biggest difference we see in these cars that have regen, some kind of electric, hybrid or something like that, is we're seeing, believe it or not, that the brakes are lasting longer. Now, obviously, you take them to the track, you're going to grind them down to nothing. But what we're actually seeing is though the longevity of the brakes is different, because you take your foot off the brake or the gas, and the vehicle's doing its own own slowdown using the engine. Brakes aren't getting as much wear and tear, so you're going to see. I guess here we are in the aftermarket heaven at SEMA. You're probably going to see, as you get into more electric vehicles, more hybrids, that you're not going to see the wear that you see in the market.
The engine braking, for lack of a better term, on something that's electric, that can be sort of turned up and down. The sensitivity that can be, like on a Tesla, you can turn off its engine braking, or do it like sort of a small, medium, and large, if you will. In the race cars, do they just not have it at all? Do they not use engine braking and just rely on brakes, do you think?
I'm not aware of any race car that has any regen in it. I mean, no. that would be very anti-intuitive, I think, for race guys. They don't want any... You know, that's the biggest problem that we face, and where Brembo's challenges are, right, is they don't want any drag at all on the brake system. So you're using all sorts of special proprietary piston, you know, the rings that we use that are pulling that piston away, you know, and bringing the pad back, so you don't have any of that lag.
Yeah, so not even the slightest bit of any type of...
Well, that's the ideal world. And you're seeing it in a lot, you know, the electric guys. It's kind of funny because, you know, in the days, you're seeing a lot of things with electric vehicles that had different motives. So let's start with lightweight. All right, before, everybody's saying, well, you need to be lightweight now because of the emissions, right? All the emission regulations, and you wanted more mileage and everything else. Now it's become a commercial issue. I got a hybrid, I got electric, I have range anxiety, so I want something light now because I got to get another 10, 15 miles out of the car by taking weight out. Same thing now with drag, you know, from the caliper itself. Before, it was a situation where race guys wanted it, right, because they want to go faster. And, I mean, they're talking half a second faster if they can get the pads off of, you know, off of the disc. Now, it's, again, a commercial issue. They're saying, I can't have the, if you put the brakes on, I got to have those pads withdraw so I can get an extra 10, 15 miles and get rid of the range anxiety again. So it's funny. It's the similar things that we're doing. Everybody asks, well, how is your development changing? And we're saying, you know, actually it's not changing that much. I mean, we'll talk about brake by wire, I'm sure, later. But I said lightness, no drag. I said those are all the same issues that we've faced for years, but their motivations now are just a little bit different.
Yeah, more of the racing technology that you guys have been working on already for years and years is getting into this
the
street cars.
We're in the mainstream.
Yeah,
but
and
you know,
that's,
we've been telling
cars.
People that, right?
Yeah.
We've been telling people that everything we do in racing ends up in your car. It's more so the case now.
Is that how it will become more affordable? Is you know, you can't do it in 50 race cars, you got to do it in 5,000 production cars?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the technology we have, you know, that we've used, for example, just even aluminum calipers, basic technology that we had, they were expensive in the beginning. And I think if you talk to the owner of our company, Alberto Bombase, you know, I've had some conversations with him when he first came out with aluminum calipers. He thought, boy, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's light, it's beautiful, it performs great, and I'm going to sell this thing for, you know, three times X, X being what the iron caliper was. You know, now it's more like two times X. You know, so the market kind of, you know, it's a value proposition, is what's the market really willing to pay. And at the end of the day, I think everything, you know, everybody says everything gets commoditized. You know, I don't think we're commoditized necessarily, but I think the market's very good at setting what the value add proposition is.
Yeah.
And yes, you know, we're making more of those calipers now. We've become more creative. Our process technology that we have is very, very good, and we're able to lower the cost so you can put it on average vehicles.
And here's the thing. If you guys have the best technology, you have to kind of pay for that at some point. You know, the consumer or the race team or whatever has to pay for that at some point.
Exactly.
If you do cheap work and you buy cheap products, you don't have to pay a lot for it, right? But if you want good stuff, the amount of, I don't know, R&D that goes into it, testing that goes into it,
got to pay
building
for
the
it.
Materials. It's got to get paid for somehow.
Exactly. And I mean, we spent a lot of money at Brembo. I mean, you're talking, you know, we have 10% of our people who are true R&D kind of guys. So, you know, we had, almost 10,000 employees. So we have all these people who are just doing R&D. You know, they're not bringing anything to the bottom line, right? They're not making any value. They're not like our manufacturing engineers and guys who are designing our processes, or our sales guys or whatever. So those guys are just doing R&D. Well, somebody's got to pay for that, right? And then we probably spend 5, 6, 7% of our revenues on R&D. So, you know, and we're reinvesting continuously in the business, but that's going to keep us alive and keep all these people employed around the world that we have. So
when a company like Acura, because we were talking about them, comes to you and says, we're developing the new car, you guys are going to do the brakes on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a bidding process or whatever, but do they come with you with specs? Because they always seem like they look a little different. Are you just modifying something that's there? Or do you have to sit down with a clean sheet of paper each time and go, well, we understand brake technology. We know what needs to happen. You're trying to achieve these benchmarks. now we need to go to our thousands of guys that are just engineering.
You know, different customers have different specs. I mean, obviously, at the end of the day, they want to meet if there's federal standards that apply or certain country-specific standards. I mean, there are certain standards in our industry from a stopping standpoint, so you're going to meet those. But that's really a starting point because all our manufacturers come to us with different specifications. First of all the corners are different. All the sizings are different. All the wheels are different. So the packaging that you're dealing with, what we call packaging in the corners, is different in those vehicles. So that's different, and that forces us to not necessarily put the same piece of, you know, of aluminum in every single corner. We do have some things that we start with, some certain, you know, baseline propositions that we have on the technology side that we start with. But, you know, we're getting a lot more requests now to do really, really dynamic looking calipers. I mean, you can see some of the stuff outside here.
We saw them sort of, I think they were debuted last year or so, and it's a crazy alien looking caliper.
Right, BM6, BM8. But, you know, a lot of that is, you know, we're causing that, all right?
Yeah.
So, you know, when Ferrari came to us and said, hey, we're coming out with this new car, it's going to be, you know, our premier signature car, but you're going to have the same packaging, same corner, but, you know, 15-20% more horsepower, and by the way, the brakes got to cost the same, and it's got to look totally different.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's got to stop, obviously. It's got to do all the things that your other one did just as well as this one. You know, we had to come up with what we call the Extrema caliper that we have, and it's a beautiful caliper. Do we have a picture of that one, I think? Is that it? I think that's it there. So, I mean, it is, you can see the pockets, the holes that we have. Now, what happened with that caliper? We took out over 6 pounds per corner in the caliper, all right? So that's an amazing caliper, and it's gorgeous. I mean, it's really, really good-looking caliper. So then our new customers come to us, and they say, that's it right there. They say, hey, I want something that's really, really nice.
It's very sort of organic-looking and almost asymmetrical in a sense, like just the way it's kind of done and broken up. This sort of looks like an evolution of it. We got a couple pictures we'll post, but this looks sort of like a little flatter and more
this
solid.
This was very creative. That, to me, looks like a cloud, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It's a puffy marshmallow.
Also, it's white with a red logo on it, so it looks like a giant marshmallow holding the rotor. We'll post some of these photos up on CarCastShow.com.
But, you know, that also is a function of what we're seeing. Truck guys, all right? I've said it. I think you and I talked a couple of years ago. I said, you know, what I would really like to see is I'd like to see the truck guys get their due. You know, I think truck guys have big cars, big horsepower, big loads, you know, on their trucks, and they need to stop. And so we've put a lot of effort in the last 5-6 years into coming out with some good truck packages. And we actually started issued Chevy Performance, as a matter of fact, has this new kit that we came out and we developed with them that can go on all your trucks, you know, your Suburbans, your Tahoes, your Escalades. And it's, you know, you basically can buy it at your dealer. You put it on yourself or the dealer will put it on for you. But, you take a beautiful black Cadillac Escalade and stick some bright Rembo red brakes on the front, big guys in those big wheels. You know, it looks fantastic.
So the aftermarket for you guys seems to be growing, or it's getting more attention. Is it just something that you're seeing there's more opportunity now, or is it you just love it because you love your cars, and you're like, I just want to see more of my brakes out there.
I really hate when my markets grow.
you know, like, did it come from, like, we need to hit the aftermarket more? I know everything has got some money behind it.
I think we can thank our OE customers a little bit, you know, on the aftermarket side, because, you know, we're delivering a lot of cars now out of the dealerships with Brembo brakes on them. And if you have a car that doesn't have Brembo brakes on it, or you decide not to get that package maybe on an OE car, you can go into the aftermarket and do it. So that's going to help you, you know, because what you see on some of the cars, I mean, it's jewelry for your car, isn't it? I mean, you get that car and you see it, and then you say, oh, I like it in red, but, you know, I like it in blue, or maybe I like it in black, or I make it in lime green. You can get it on your car, and, you know, there's nothing like a new set of wheels, new set of brakes on your car. It's almost like having a brand new car.
Yeah. It has to look good now. Like, we've seen the last, I don't know, half a dozen or so years at SEMA where it's all about showing off the brakes. Like, that's as important as putting a turbo or supercharger on your motor.
It's, but, you know,
like, safety-wise, it's more important.
Well, and you know, and that's what I would say. I would say, you know what, there's two things going on here, all right? I mean, I've never seen so much horsepower ever. I mean, you know, I saw there's a guy here, Speedcore. You saw that Mustang that they came out with, all right? And all they talk about is the carbon and how beautiful it is and the carbon seats, and it is a beautiful car. But I asked the guy, I said, but does this thing go any faster? He says, oh, yeah, we got a Roush supercharger in there, too. Yeah. It's 750 horsepower. Well, you got to have a Brembo brake. I mean, you cannot just take your stock brakes and go run with 750 horsepower. So you're functional, but it looks great. I mean, why wouldn't you do that? I mean, I you know.
We were at the Chevy Performance press conference Monday night. We were hanging out there, and we're standing around. And the guy, you know, they come out. We got the new brake packages and things. And the guy's like, hey, anybody that's got your Camaro, your ZL1, we've got a nice, like, right out of the catalog package. It's a tune and a blower pulley. 720 horsepower, and you put the drag slicks on there, you'll pop wheelies. And, like, without today's electronics and the nannies and the car, you would kill yourself. But that's a dealer installed package. You could just go
it
and
is.
Buy it.
But
you don't
all
have,
of it comes together, right? You got to have the all that ABS and all the traction control and all those fancy things that can handle a performance car. But you also got to have a brake.
Yeah,
because at the end of the day, you got to stop that thing.
Okay, so we're talking about the calipers, and you're doing all these crazy designs, making them lighter, making them smaller, sometimes bigger. What about the rotors? Where are we in rotors?
What's happening in the rotor business, I would say, is lightweight. So, you know, it's for years, and I mean, you know, I've been in this business 20 years. You had this iron, you know, basically this iron casting that you basically cut to size. You played a little bit with the fins, you know, so you went from a solid disc to now discs with, you know, with fins inside, so vented discs. What we're seeing now is really a big demand to try to take weight out there, too. And it's very tough because there's a lot of heat that goes through, so the materials, you're not going to go to aluminum, it'll melt. So you have to try to do something from a design standpoint. And Brembo has actually come out with three or four technologies that are very unique, and you're playing with the hat sections. And the hat is the part that bolts to the car for those people who aren't rotor experts.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is we're making that hat section out of either stamped steel or aluminum. Or in some cases, we're actually taking an aluminum casting and we're co-casting it into the iron. So, you know, you're basically casting around, you know, the aluminum hat section, if you will.
Yeah.
Or vice versa, really.
It's good. It's like a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Sort of, yeah. It's one way of looking at it. But what you get is you get a 15, 20, 25% reduction in weight of the castings. And you will see this a lot. You'll see, for example, Mercedes is using a lightweight rotor now, which is very, very interesting. It's basically a steel hat that's stamped, and it basically gets pushed into the iron ring. But you have a big reduction in weight there, and of course that's what people want. For, in this case, emissions, and of course, you know, for if they're having hybrids, they're going to get a few extra miles.
So you're starting at the hat, you're coming up with the technologies there, you're making that strong, light. Now we get to the rotor, and we all live in a world where we want giant rotors on our cars. We have 20, 21, 22 inch wheels.
Makes it even more important.
But now that, you know, if you have a, you know, 15 inch diameter iron rotor, that's weight really far out, right? It's not just heavy, but it's heavy in a larger diameter.
Go ahead, say it. Say unsprung mass. You have to say that.
Okay, unsprung
about
mass. There it is. I'm trying to paint a picture on a podcast.
Yep.
But
you're right. I mean, they're getting bigger and bigger, and the weight becomes more. It's one thing when you have these little rotors. Yeah, you can put aluminum or a steel, and you'd save maybe 2 pounds. But when you get these big mammoth guys, you know, you take out 15, 20%, you're talking quite a few pounds. And then, of course, you can always go to the carbon side if you want.
Yeah.
And, you know, and obviously carbon, that's what you use on Indy cars and Ferraris, you know, I mean the Ferrari F1 vehicles, you know, in the F1 series. That's pretty much still out of the range of your normal day-to-day driver.
Yeah.
But we have carbon ceramic components now, which are really, really becoming more affordable. You can get a carbon ceramic package now on a Corvette. You see them on the NSX. You see them on production vehicles. Alfa Romeo Giulia.
Is this the lineup? It's iron, carbon ceramic, carbon?
I would say first is probably iron rotor.
Okay.
Then some type of two-piece Or
solid one
some
piece
kind
iron
of
rotor.
What we would call hybrid, which is some kind of lighter weight hat section in iron.
Yeah.
Then I would say carbon ceramic, and then I would say carbon carbon. So there's your list.
What cars are running? Like you said, the NSX is running carbon ceramic.
NSX right now, the Alfa Romeo Giulia, it was just released in production. You get the Quadrifoglio, a great handling car. That has a carbon ceramic package on it. And then you have, how about Chevy Corvette? You can get a fantastic carbon ceramic package on that Z06, Z07. Fantastic.
Now,
fantastic
if I want carbon
package.
Carbon, what kind of car do I got to buy?
You shouldn't. Okay. I mean, we have seen a couple vehicles where builders have put carbon carbon. The problem with carbon carbon is you need to heat it.
Yeah.
All right. That you ever see those guys drive around the track, you know, stopping and starting and going left and right. They're heating up the tires and they're heating up the brakes. And carbon carbon is a professional material. Do not use this at home.
Yeah. You got to go fast. It's the one thing. Its brakes are meant to slow you down, but you got to go fast. Because these things won't get enough heat to
exactly. To work and it really is not, you know, this is where you put the little thing underneath. These are professional drivers. Do not try this at home.
Some of them are maybe a little less than professional. Okay, so the future of technology. You touched on a little bit on it when we started off, and we're probably going to run out of time soon. But brake by wire.
Well, the whole car is becoming electronic. We see
everything
that.
Is.
I mean, it's obvious. So it's only a matter of time where they're going to want the brakes. Now, the brakes sometimes now are either controlled. You're either getting, you know, some of this automatic braking, emergency braking, whatever is becoming more electrified, if you will. But really, at the end of the day, you don't need all this hydraulics. Right now, you push your pedal down. It's actually pushing fluid.
Yeah.
Into the various corners, and of course that's clamping the brakes. All right, that can all be done electronically, and we've been working on a brake by wire system where you're going to eliminate or substantially minimize the amount of hydraulics in your vehicle, which is less components, less fluids, less cost, and to be honest with you, in some of the brake by wire systems that we have, you're actually increasing the reaction time that you have.
Yeah.
So in the braking, so you know all that process, even though it's very very fast, can be done faster electronically.
But there's got to be sort of different levels to it. We have cars on the road now, Mustangs and whatnot, that don't have, you know, well, I guess they still kind of do.
There's a lot of power steering and everything else.
So we have electric power steering. So
you
now
know,
we
brakes
get,
are a sensitive topic, all right? Steering is one thing, you think, but it was important, right? People didn't like power steering. You know, it's like, oh, this is electronic? How's it? You know, but so it was electronic assist.
Yeah.
First, right?
Yeah.
And then
the first,
now you
right,
have quite a bit
years.
Of electronics. But there's a trust factor in there, and there's going to be redundancy, you know, in the vehicle. But there's no doubt, you know, I would say, you know, I don't know, we never, who knows, predict the future, but, you know, I would say 5-10 years for sure you're going to be seeing brake by wire.
Of course, we're going to see it on the supercars and the big expensive cars. And
we're using
and
it
work
in racing.
Its way down.
We have it in F1 now, we're using brake by wire. Now, those guys are going pretty fast.
They are going pretty
fast. And they're trusting the brake by wire. Now, another advantage of brake by wire, which we really haven't delved into a lot, is you can tune the braking. So if you're a guy who likes a fast reacting, hard, quick, you know, hard brake system, you can adjust that. And then if you're a softy guy, you like to ride the brake, have kind of a cushy pedal, you can adjust it to that too. So you picture guys like Tesla or guys who like to tune the entire car, right? You see that now. You got what? You have a regular, you have a track or sport pack, and then you have track.
We talk about your Porsche, right? You still got your turbo?
Oh, you, no, I gave it away. No,
Turbo S? I don't know. Maybe you're like, I had the 17. Now I got the 18 because I got bored with it.
Yeah, I wish.
Is it Turbo or Turbo S?
Turbo S. Yes, I still have it, and it's still
a CEO mobile right there.
It's still a very, very nice car.
It's amazing car. That car is fantastic. But that car has its Sport and Sport Plus modes, and it changes steering feel and suspension and power dynamics of exhaust. Eventually, they're going to work in the braking as well, right? They're going to say in normal mode that brakes this way, in Sport Plus it brakes this way.
But you can do all those adjustments now, which you can't really do in a hydraulic system now. You can, but it's a lot more difficult.
Are you staying
I did buy a nice Swiss Trax pad and bed in my bedroom for the Porsche now, so I can sleep with it. I like to go to sleep and have my hand kind of on it.
Are you been getting in trouble with that car? You getting pulled over in that car?
I have not yet gotten pulled over. I have gotten a I've been close.
A couple of stink eyes going by. What was that noise? What was that? Sandberg and his Porsche going by.
You know, it's funny. You know, it's obviously my first, what I would call, can I call it a supercar?
Yeah, it is a supercar. It does 0 to 60 in 2.8 seconds.
The funny thing is, I haven't been used to the tension that you get from it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's encouraging to me because you see the younger generation actually do appreciate that. You always hear that they don't care about cars. But, there's been a few times where I've been driving on the road and you kind of get this feeling like there's something next to you, but you're not sure. And I look over next to me, and there's somebody with a camera.
Yeah.
Or, you know, their iPhone out. Sometimes they're driving, and they're driving next to me with their iPhone taking pictures.
Yeah, like
of the car.
That's incredibly scary, by the way. People do that all the time.
I'm not used to that, so that's a little unnerving at times.
I was driving, not fast. We were sitting in traffic. It's L.A. That's what you do. I was on the 405 going, left the studio, going back home. I was driving like a blue Lamborghini Aventador, and an entire school bus of kids comes over, and everybody on that bus was on one side of the bus, and all the kids were yelling and pointing and taking pictures, and I realized it's like, as I'm driving, I'm like, it's kind of difficult to see out of this car, but I'm like, it's a blue Aventador. Everybody sees you, you know. Like,
it's, you know, and I had a friend of mine who actually has a friend of his, so it's through transitivity, I guess it could be a friend of mine.
Yeah.
But anyway,
it's like real life LinkedIn.
He bought the BMW. Is it i8?
The
i8 with the doors and everything.
Yeah.
And the guy actually gave it back. He had it for about a month, and he said, "I love the car, but I had too much attention." He said, "I went to get gas, and I came back. There was a guy sitting in my car." He told me. You know, because he had the door open, he went to pump the gas, and he said it was just, I just got tired of it. It was just people constantly.
What neighborhood is he getting gas in?
I don't know. But I can see, I kind of thought it was a ridiculous story, but I can kind of see it. You know, you do get the attention, but hey, if that's what it takes, and that's the penalty for having that car,
it is
a
little bit of that.
It
is a little bit of that. We were in Monterey. We went to the Concorso Italiano,
mm-hmm.
and you park on the lawn before you get into the event, and the lawn is a car show.
It's fabulous.
It's amazing. You'll see a F12 TDF, a brand new multi-million-dollar Ferrari, whatever it is now that it's worth. It's already gone up, and we were walking on the way back. I think you were with us, Chris. But it was Adam and Nate and the guys were with us, and some guy and his girlfriend, I guess, were walking through, and they see the car and they like it. They want to take a picture. She just lays on the hood of this goddamn thing, just on the hood. And then he gets up, they switch, and he's like leaning up against it, and
this is just some guy's.
It's just
big
some guy's car
in the middle of parking lot
in the lawn, just parked there, and people are just laying on it, leaning against it. And we're like, what's going on? There's no respect.
That is a car show. And if you're a car show guy, you have got to go to the Pebble Beach.
Oh, my God.
You know,
that's
and
the
even go to the Concorso and see the amount of money that people have invested in cars is just, it's scary. I mean, for all the things that are going on in this world where they're, you know, you see what people invest in cars and what these cars are worth and what they're going for in the auctions, it's just phenomenal now. Beautiful, but phenomenal.
Dan, thank you so much. We're going to hop over to the next booth, but come visit us again. Come down to the studio in Glendale. Come see the car collection. I'm sure it's grown a little bit since you've been down there.
I'd love to.
Come in the studio, chat with me and Adam. We'll have a great time.
All right. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
Have a great show.
All right, we're going to head over to Heights Suspension, but first, a quick message from Adam.
Yeah, man, fresh and lean. If you want to perform your best physically or mentally, or how about both? Let's go for the brass ring, man. You need the proper fuel. Look, we talk about bad fuel all the time. I mean, those race cars of mine, they take 115 octane. Let's get some 115 octane into your body. Fresh and lean. Fresh and lean. Healthy meal delivery service established in 2010, making meals to order from scratch with organic ingredients. Meals, they're prepackaged and vacuum sealed trays delivered in a refrigerated box anywhere in the U.S. No prep, shopping, cooking, most importantly, cleanup. Take meals anywhere in a freezable lunch bag. For 15% off meal plans, check it out, freshandlean.com/carcast. Use the promo code CARCAST, get the 15% off good, high-quality nutrients for your body. Skip that fast food and all that junk food, everyone. Fresh and Lean. Vinny would want it that way. FreshandLean.com/CarCast. Use the promo code CarCast and get the 15% off meal plans.
All right, now we're in the Heights Suspension Systems booth with Scott Dietrich. How are you, Scott?
Very good. Thank you for having us.
So I don't think we've had an opportunity to come over and chat with you guys in the past. I'm very familiar with Heights, but it hasn't come up on our schedule yet. So thanks for the opportunity for allowing us to come by.
Yes.
But for those listening, tell us, what is Heights?
Heights actually started over 30 years ago. We were primarily a street rod and hot rod company, and that's where we, you know, made our mark in the industry. You know, from there, we actually expanded. We got into the classic trucks, moved into muscle trucks, moved into even now some of the more modern days of the cars, where we're doing the 82 to 02 Camaro. So, you know, as an industry, everybody still knows us, though, in the hot rods. They still know us in the muscle cars, and that's still our core business.
And I was always familiar with you guys as sort of a... almost a universal suspension. Like, if I was going to build a custom hot rod or something and somebody's going to be building a frame, we could call you guys and say, I need a Mustang 2 suspension. There's some options I want to do with the, you know, with brakes and spring rates, and this is the frame I'm going to be using. Can we get something in there? Maybe some sort of four-link rear end that can go in it. But now it seems so much vehicle specific, like application specific stuff you guys are doing.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, all of our applications now are, you know, specific for a Camaro, for, you know, like a 54 Chevy truck, for a Mustang. Makes installation and breeze. I mean, our instructions are very detailed, you know, it walks you through the whole process. A lot of our kits are even bolt-on. You know, if you're doing a first or second gen Camaro or an early Nova, we have bolt-on subframes, bolt-on four links for the rear, even bolt-on IRSs that the normal person can do in their driveway, do it in 4 to 8 hours. So nice, yeah, and simple, and they handle great on the road, but they handle even better on the autocross track.
So for those that aren't familiar with Heights and you're trying to picture it, again, go to carcastshow.com and you see some pictures of the stuff that's up there. But this isn't like you order your springs and a set of shocks and you bolt them onto your car. These are sort of front and rear clips.
Yeah, full kits. And whether you're doing a Mustang 2, we also offer a Super Ride, and then our Pro Gs, our top of the line. It's hub-to-hub kits. So you're going to get our cross members, you get our tubular control arms, you get our shocks and springs. Brake kits come with it, and spindles come with it. It's a unit that's going to be, when you're done installing it, you're ready to go. And we actually make it all here in America, so right outside Chicago, Illinois.
So that's what's kind of nice about it is instead of looking at, let's say, an old particular muscle car, an old Camaro or something, and start thinking, I've got to start rethinking the geometry or mounting points or wherever. You basically just remove everything that's in there, put this clip in there, bolt it in, weld it in, whatever the process is, depending on the car. And now you have matching rear kits, basically, and you're going after that pro touring market. So the focus really is on performance.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we still have our core people that just want to keep it on the street, you know, just have a better ride to take to the car shows, our daily drivers. Yeah. And then we have our people that want to do a lot of pro touring, SCCA events, Optima events. And we've had a lot of our cars out there with our independent rear suspensions doing that. And again, being a bolt-on kit, you know, we're showing that bolt-on power, it can handle these high horsepower cars and, you know, handle the extreme driving.
One of the products that you guys have been working on, especially in this pro touring world, that I really like is your independent rear suspension. And to get these IRSs to fit under arguably pretty small Gen 1 muscle cars like your Mustangs and Camaros, how are you making that happen?
We have on staff, again, in our Chicago location, we have engineers in R&D, and every year we come out with a new product. It's something that we pride ourselves in, something that we've been doing for a long time. So we'll have R&D bring in a few different test vehicles. We'll use our SolidWorks. Everything is done now, you know, in CAD and CAM software. We'll design it, throw it on a vehicle, see how it works, do some testing, and then we'll put it on a few other ones too, just to really make sure that everything's going to fit across the board with different model years coming out of different plants, etc. So overall, you know, design time and prototyping time can be anywhere from 12 to 24 months, just depending on the length and the difficulty that we're having with some of these, you know, products. But we've really done a lot with the Camaros, done a lot with the Mustangs and the Novas. You know, we're looking now, where do we get into next? We start doing Mopar, maybe we start doing Corvettes. You know, the need is definitely there. We get a lot of calls from the Mopar guys wanting these kits. And we do have a few universal kits that, you know, fit in some of the 70 Challengers or the Cudas. It takes a little bit of fabrication work, but maybe we just start offering that kit as a bolt-in kit too. That's kind of the direction that we're going, you know, to give these people who want to build the ultimate car, yeah, you know, the capability to do it.
So you guys offer complete kits, as we said, but is there a way for us to personalize the kits at some point? Can we look at different shock options or different manufacturers of shocks or brakes, or is that in the future?
You know, we do a lot with Wilwood, especially on our Pro G kits and some of our Super Ride kits. Shocks, again, we make all those in-house in Chicago. With that said, you can actually run other people's shocks in there. So if you wanted to be just the ultimate competitor, you know, and they have the most vicious car out there and you want to go with a triple adjustable shock, Heights himself doesn't offer it. But we do have other people that do.
I mean,
you know, whether the name brand shocks do work on our kits, and we've actually used them on our kits before in the past before we started making them ourselves.
Yeah. I'm looking at the IRS. You have some cars in the booth. We'll talk about the cars in just a second, but this is a Gen 1 Camaro. We're looking at an independent rear in the back. It's pretty cool, but when you look at it from the wheel side, you don't really see the brake. You're running inboard brakes.
Yeah, all of our earlier generation stuff was inboard braking, so you get some of the benefits of unsprung weight. You get some of the benefits of it actually just looking amazingly cool when you look through the wheel at a car show and you don't see that in there. You also don't have to worry about, you know, worrying about caliper clearance back there, you know, with some of the wheels. So it opens up your wheel, you know, choice a little bit more. We do that with all of our earlier IRSs. With the new IRSs, we went, you know, to a more conventional outboard braking system. But again, those are for the, you know, some of the newer cars. So
right, I get you. I mean, like you said, the benefits here of being able to see it—that's cool. Don't have to worry about brake size. You can worry about that inboard. But people are going to say, you know, I want an option where I can see the brakes, or I can put my, you know, my big Brembos or something on there or whatever. And there, maybe there's something in the future where.
Up front, you can do that. You know, up front, you can change them out. For now, with the current version of our IRS here, you are stuck with the inboard brake. If it's on the inboard braking system, you're stuck with our Wilwood setup. It's a 10.5-inch, you know, rotor, 4-piston caliper. So it is a good setup from the
get-go. It's a great setup. And I was taking a look at it at down there, and it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's handled
and
a
unique
lot.
For sure.
Most definitely. You know, the nice part, too, with our independent rear suspensions is that there's no floor modifications. I mean, these kits, you're bolting it directly into your 69 Camaro. You're not losing the gas tank. You're not cutting up your floor. It's a 4-hour to 8-hour job. And when you're done with it, you go and have fun. If you wanted to, you know, sell your car a few years later and it was, you know, already in really good condition and you want to put that stock suspension back in, you can do that without leaving any lasting marks that our Heights stuff was ever there.
Right on. Okay, so in your booth, you have two really killer cars. Producer Chris is running around and taking some photos so everybody can see it. But start with this one right in front of us. Tell us about this car.
Yeah, we actually commissioned the Outcast Customs guys out of California last year at SEMA. They won a great award last year, you know, as a new builder. And we decided to, we offered them a front and rear suspension kit and asked them to build us a car for SEMA this year. So they did this gorgeous 68 Camaro. We actually grafted on a 69 Camaro front end. It's got our Heights Pro G bolt-on subframe and our high horsepower Heights independent rear suspension. Again, another bolt-on unit there. Interior, I mean, this whole car has just been completely tricked out.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's absolutely gorgeous. The color is like spot on. There's subtle, you know, changes all over this car that you have to keep looking at to find out everything that they've really done. You know, but electronics-wise in this car, it's sick. I mean, they've actually integrated an iPad into the dashboard, Dakota digital gauges, Bluetooth battery. Everything's running off Wi-Fi and Bluetooth in this car, which is amazing. He controls everything from his cell phone, from starting it to the windows to the lights. It's top-notch build in this one.
And how much power is it making?
This one's making about 650 horsepower. It's a supercharged LSA motor.
And that certainly speaks to the parts you guys put underneath it, because it, to handle 600 horsepower, you have to handle 1,000 horsepower with the rear, because people want to overkill.
Everybody
always
overkills.
Because as soon as you get used to 600 horsepower, you're like, now I need 720, and then you need 8, right?
Yep. We rate our CV shafts at 800 horsepower. You know, I mean, certainly people always push it beyond that, but 800 horsepower is our safe rating on our IRSs.
Okay.
You know, after that, too, you have to start, we use Curry third members and such, but eventually you have to start looking at what can your third member handle.
Right, so. Right. So tell us about the Trans Am that's next to it.
Trans Am is actually a very special build. It's a 78 Trans Am built by NHRA champion Tony Schumacher.
Nice.
So we actually got his car about 4 years ago, used it as a prototype vehicle for our Pro G front and rear suspensions on the second gens. Awesome car. He actually wanted to build it with his kids. His kids actually gave him most of the ideas and actually had a lot of the design characteristics that were built into this car. So we used it as a design or prototype vehicle and, you know, went off to another shop to finish off and brought it to SEMA this year. We actually had Tony with us on Tuesday and Wednesday signing autographs and sitting in his car. First time he sat in his own car.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, after SEMA here, we're going to be delivering this to his house. We're going south and he's already actually yesterday he was trying to get it out of the booth here just to go play with it on the GM performance track. So
yeah, try to get it out the door, right?
He wanted it out the door. He doesn't understand.
Oh,
it's only
if he
2 gallons
of gas.
He made
it out there for like SEMA Ignited. Maybe we could fire it up Friday afternoon. Are you guys going to bring it out to the car show?
We're not actually. That motor's vicious. That's an aluminum dart block, dart heads.
Don't stand in front of the car when you're firing it up.
It's incredibly rowdy. Very rowdy. But it's an amazing car. He's looking forward to getting it home. He wants it back at his house in Sander, which we're trying to figure out how we're going to pull that off. But he's very excited, to say the least. So.
Right on. Well, thank you so much. Where's the website where you can check you guys out?
Website for us would be www.heights.com, and Heights is spelled H-E-I-D-T-S. You'll find all of our suspension products on there, and then also Alston Racing, which is another company that we own that does a lot of drag racing products.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Thank you, Scott. That's been great.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Now we're hanging out outside at SEMA, and it's going to get a little loud out here. There's a lot of things going on. People are drifting cars and playing music and some kind of crazy babbling sweepstakes yelling, maniacs yelling behind us. People are pouring oil all over the ground. It's crazy, but we're here with Jeff Ryan from JRI Shocks. How are you, Jeff?
Good. Fine. How are you?
Good. We're getting toward the end.
One more day.
One more day.
Yep.
Give us a little background about JRI Shocks. Now, we've been reaching out to you guys and on some of the cars we have in our shop and upgrading the suspensions and stuff, and you guys have been phenomenal with working with us. But tell us about what is JRI.
Well, JRI Shocks is, we had our 10-year anniversary this year, and we are, I feel we're the leader in the suspension industry as far as, you know, damping's controlled, hydraulic control of fluid to create damping for performance gains in a multitude of different types of venues, from NASCAR, you know, to the cup level, to IndyCar, to sports car, to Harley Davidson, and obviously the pro touring car and the Optima Challenge type cars here.
And some of the products that you guys have, I mean, these are pretty high end pieces. This is all, you know, this isn't really cookie cutter kind of stuff. Like we have it on our race cars, but you have a couple different levels of. Do you have a non adjustable, or do you have a single or a triple or a remote reservoir?
And really, that's how we kind of gauge it. We start off with a non adjustable shock, which is just a very good operating shock. Not everybody needs the adjustment, nor they want it, if they can even get to it, for what kind of car it is. Then we go to a single adjustable, and that single adjustable, we can set that single at that one adjuster to work on just compression or just rebound. Compression meaning the inward stroke and rebound the outstroke. And then we move to a double adjustable that offers you the compression and rebound. Then we offer a three-way adjustable that's high and low speed compression and a single adjustable rebound.
Yeah.
And our end of the lines are four-way, and that's where you'll find those on our Le Mans-type sports cars. And
very it starts getting pricey. If you're going four, it starts to get a little pricey.
It's a proven design. It's a design I've carried with me my whole life. And I've been in the industry for 40 years now. Started off as a shock technician at Fox Shocks back in California in the late 70s. I was still in high school. And stayed there for about 7 years and was drafted to an IndyCar team, Gallus Racing in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And last driver I worked with there was Allanser Jr. And I designed my first four-way shock there during the off-season, which is about 6 weeks. In my final year there, we started winning races and caught the attention of Roger Penske. And when his racing team and his group, which then they recruited me to come work for them, and that's how Penske Racing Shocks was born. And towards the end of my time there, I started working on other things like biomechanical knee braces, for instance, from an injury I had.
Yeah.
Autonomous vehicles for the Defense Department, robotic vehicles. And that's how JRI was. That was the genesis of why it was born. Those were areas I wanted to continue working on, never giving up my racing experience. Because that went back for, I spent 10 years in Formula One, in Indy, you know, just very high-end racing. And I really, really achieved a lot of the goals I wanted to do that as a shock absorber designer and supplier. So JRI was born out to, you know, the JR is my initials and the I stood for industries. Because of the three different industries I wanted to be in, and we are, just the racing shocks is that's kind of the mother of of the three.
Well, you know, we're being here at SEMA, we have so many really extreme street cars, pro touring cars. I know you guys are getting into that market as well. how is that happening? Are you working with partners that build suspension systems and you're providing the shocks and or the damping for it, or are you guys making vehicle-specific things?
No, really, we work with the car builders. Yeah, I was very surprised. I walked down Optima Alley, you know, yesterday. I know we had a lot, but I think we've got 60% of the cars out there had a JRI either sticker on it or had them under the, you know, on the chassis, which was because we sell, one person might build a chassis, but he sells them to four people. And those four people we really don't get to know till we come out here.
Right.
And then, you know, that's for the Optima side and also like the Good Guys events. We attend more of those events now. And if you looked at it, we're everything from a Detroit Speed, you know, from their suspension kits.
Sure.
He's really one of our biggest dealers. Is our biggest dealer in this market, to people that work just on the C5, C6 Mustangs, the C7, or I mean not Mustangs, the Corvettes,
yeah.
Then the new gen Mustangs, and then everything in between.
What can we look forward to technology wise? I mean, these cars today, they're all so computer controlled. You can get in a car and it changes the suspension settings and steering settings and power levels, and you must be looking at that at some point going, how do you provide an upgrade?
We, in 2010, I did an electronic adjustable damper, primarily for like the off-road racing, you know, a Pro 2 truck for the closed course or a trophy type truck. And I found that the technology of it was really quite good because I was using all my existing passive shocks, which I've really worked on for almost 40 years, if you look at out the span of my career, and then adding that electronic functionality to it. It was really an impressive piece. What it was, they were presets, so you had a dashboard with eight buttons on it, and you would set it for race, whether you're doing an autocross, road race track, driving it home, snow, wet, whatever. But now we are now giving it a brain this year, and where it'll act off certain inputs such as throttle position, brake pressure, steering input, and in a couple others. But what'll make ours a bit different from everyone else's is you're going to be able to fine tune each one of those inputs to where you feel you need it. Because a competitive driver doesn't want, what you really want is you want the car reaction to be as fast as your brain reaction. And if the car's quicker than your brain sometimes, it makes it hard to drive. So it'll allow the driver or racer or operator to dial it in to himself, more personalize it. We're already working on it now because we've already had the electronic platform. Now we're just adding basically another box to it.
Okay. Now you're saying you're doing it differently than your competitors. I don't know anybody else that's really doing that. There's some OEs. We have Magnetic Ride that Ferrari and GM and a couple car companies are using.
They've been around. The aftermarket you're seeing more and more. If you walk around and really go upstairs in the new products, you'll see them there.
Okay.
And ours, what sets ours apart different too, a lot of them, when they're adjusting, they adjust in both directions. They just soften or stiffen the whole shock, where with ours, we're doing it independently in the compression mode and in the rebound mode. So they don't talk to each other, and we got about a 20 millisecond response time, which is plenty fast for all the needs here.
Yeah, I'm so fascinated by all of that because when you start dialing in or start looking at things on how steering input and things like that can start to change the suspension, I mean, sure, we read about how, you know, Porsche or somebody is doing that, but to have that end up in the aftermarket as well, can we do that on the Pro Touring cars? It's like probably not that far away before we can grab some of our Mustangs and Camaros.
Their baptism of fire will be in this arena, which will be in these types of cars.
That's it. That's why we're here. That's why it's at SEMA, right?
Yeah. It's close, but that's where it'll grow up out of. And obviously, you're always looking for someone interested in something else. We have them on Jeeps. We have them on UTVs. We have them on pro stock drag cars for NHRA, drift cars. I mean, they're out there. They exist. And so I'm excited to give it a little bit of a cerebral cortex and a cerebellum to think.
Oh, I guess it's time for us to wrap up because they're about to get pretty loud right behind us. But throw out the website for you guys.
JRIShocks.com. www.jrishocks.com. JRIShock.com.
You guys are going to find more about JRI because we started working with these guys and we love them. We're putting them on some of the vintage race cars. I don't even know if vintage racing is a market that you guys plan to be into, but we're doing
it. Like I said, one of your cars was ones I worked on back in the 80s, and it's come back to me through you.
Yeah.
So it's to me, that's fascinating. I'm all about
that. Well, we can't wait to have you guys come over and check them out. But, Jeff, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, before we head over to Comp Performance Group, one last message from Adam.
Bluehost, top-rated website provider, powering 2 million-plus websites. Best tool to build, host, and manage your personal or small business website. Freedom to design your site your way, fully customizable templates and third-party app support. Simple enough for beginners, powerful enough for advanced users. So anyone who falls in between that can use Bluehost, or if you're at the top or the bottom. Bluehost, true reliability, 99.9% uptime guaranteed, and auto updates. Maximum security, malware monitoring and protection, and automatic secure WordPress installs, plus 24/7 tech support. What else do you need? You want to start your own website? You want some freedom? Let's go with Bluehost. Save up to 50% when you sign up at bluehost.com/carcast. bluehost.com/carcast, up to 50% off. All right, let's get back to the show.
All right, last interview of the day, my friend Trent Goodwin from Comp Performance Group. How are you, Trent?
We're doing great. Thank you for coming by and seeing us.
It's getting a little late in the day. Everyone's getting a little tired. We got a big banquet to go to tonight.
Absolutely.
It's going to be fun, by the way. There's a huge show going on.
I'll tell you what, you know, it's always fun. You always see different entertainers every year for the SEMA banquet. This year, I have never seen so many people so eager to go to the banquet. It's going to see some legends up there on the main stage.
Yeah.
You know,
so our buddy Brad Fanshawe is my co-host on Shift and Steer. He's the one who put it together. Michael Anthony's his business partner, Bond Speed Wheels, and he reached out to their managers and reached out to SEMA. And this actually started with Pete Chaporis. He was on our show. He was a co-host on our show, and very sad that Pete passed this earlier this year. But he started it a year ago, this process. He's like, let's get a band in there and get a super group in there.
Absolutely.
And I think now, you know, SEMA recognized that it was sort of a goal of Pete, so they wanted to do it.
You know, we've had a lot of comedians. We've had a lot of performers.
Yeah.
But you know what? Having some musicians is a good change. But then, you know, you have rock legends that's fixing
to be
there
fun.
Playing some guitars.
Yeah.
This is going to be one for the record books.
We were here with Michael Anthony yesterday, and he's pumped, man. It's going to be good.
They're all hot rod guys.
They are.
This is the perfect opportunity for us and them.
Yeah. So anyway, we're looking forward to that. But let's talk about
let's talk about brass tacks.
Now, Comp, we all know. We know Comp Cams as a product, as a company, but the Comp Performance Group has really grown over the years. You guys done such a phenomenal job on not just growing the company, but making everything sort of connected and relevant. And I know there's a big master plan behind this whole thing. You
absolutely.
And Chris have really been working on this for a long time. Chris Douglas.
With the Comp Performance Group, you know, we're the largest company our size that's still privately owned with two amazing owners, Mr. Scooter and Ron Coleman.
I know. I see them right over there.
Yeah. And, you know, having these guys with us every day, you know, they're here in the booths working. You know, they're working owners. They're here, you know, talking to customers. And, you know, they really give us the ability to do what we do. They give us the ability to make fast parts and take care of customers. You know, you look at our brands. We got Comp Cams. We got TCI Automotive Transmissions.
Yep.
We've hot fast fuel injection, Zex Nitrous, Quartermaster Clutches, Powerhouse Tools, and Gleece Induction. I can keep going on. But you know what? All these brands revolve around the powertrain.
Yeah.
Every brand that we have makes sense within our umbrella. You know, there's no sense in creating brands and creating all these products that if it doesn't really make sense to our customers, you know, it doesn't make sense for us to, you know, build that up. So, you know, we've really been methodical, and it's all about integrating. If we can figure out how to create valve train that works great for transmissions and torque converters, that also works if he wants to go fuel injection, and he might be running nitrous on his AEFI setup, so all these things work together, and that's the great thing is because our engineers in-house, we can literally, you know, go from point A to point B for the full powertrain, and our engineers can tailor everything to work together. So it's pretty cool.
That's an important thing to point out, because I love the knowledge base at Comp Group, right, at the whole company. And it is amazing that, you know, there's so many different brands, and it's very easy to acquire brands and say, all right, well, you're still going to be in your location, do your thing, and your own branding and your marketing and your own R&D and development, and you'll still be successful. But the integration of stuff, to be able to share that knowledge base, is amazing. But you're absolutely right. Like, I know we could call you guys, and I've done this myself, and I would say, I'm running, you know, I want to run this engine, I'm running this cam. What do you think on transmission and everything from gear ratio and everything that we can figure it out and put a package together and then control it.
Through
the computers.
Talking about integration, one of the greatest things that we've done over the past year is we've been renovating a new facility. You know, Comp Cams is based out of Memphis, Tennessee. That's where we're born. That's where we're raised. That's where we'll be machining cams for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's where we've been. But we just bought a new building, and we've been renovating it. It's 300,000 square foot. It's down in Olive Branch, Mississippi. And we literally, from this building, can ship every brand under one roof.
Wow.
So that makes it great for our customers. You know, we can bulk orders together. It's all about trying to take care of our customers, create those relationships, create those bonds, keep them buying them and coming back to us. You know, customer relations and customer service is where it's at right now in this industry. There's so much competition right now. It's a matter of who can take care of the customer the best.
Yeah. And the brand name behind it holds a lot of water.
Absolutely. You know, our brands, they're synonymous with being in the industry, you know, and a lot of the times they look at it and they think of us as the big guy, but we're really not. We're just a small machine shop. If you literally came to our facility in Memphis, Tennessee, you'd be shocked by how small it is. We just have a really dedicated crew, dedicated sales team, marketing team, engineering team, and the cam shop, the machine shop, the CNCs, the Burcos. You know, we got all this cool equipment that allows us to have the ability to crank out what we do and to have the persona we have.
I just imagine the parking lot over at Comp Group is just rubber everywhere, just from people from burnouts, leaving work.
Well, I don't know. I'll plead the fifth.
Yeah, right? Because I know it's there. I know it's just covered. Everybody over there must love what they're doing.
Yep.
So here at SEMA, you have an amazing booth and just tons of new product. And like you said, every time you turn around, you got new product from Comp, new product from TCI. What are some of the standout pieces?
Well, I'll give you a handful here. For Comp Cams, we actually took home Best New Street Performance Product of the Year. And that's for the new L99 series camshaft for LS L99s. It's called the FSL series. FSL stands for 50 State Legal.
Oh,
exactly.
Fancy.
You know, we did a lot of engineering behind this, but, you know, we spent large investment as well. But, you know, smog and all this legislation coming down the pipeline, especially for Californians. There's a lot of things in the pipe that really hurt the automotive industry. So, you know, we've said, let's go after that. Let's try to help our customers in California. You know, and that's going to transcend across the states. Eventually, one day it will. So now we have a EO-certified series of camshafts that create horsepower, create torque, and it's a performance cam, and they don't have to worry about anything anymore.
That's fantastic. You know, no questions asked. You guys did the work for them.
We did it for them. All they got to do is buy it from us, and they're done. So this is a trend-setting product. SEMA noticed it. We got a new product of the year award for it. So it's the start of great things to come.
What kind of power does it make? Are you really limited by the power because of the rules, or is it really just about making power as clean as possible,
Absolutely.
Just like emissions
That's
clean
correct.
As possible?
You know, in every application,
there's got to be a way to do it, right?
Yeah, and you know, and you're depending upon your application is going to determine how much horsepower and torque you gain. But it's a matter of creating horsepower and trying to be as clean as possible, and also trying to just go by the rules. And this is, from what I was told, is this is the first camshaft that's ever been EO certified in over 20 plus years.
Yeah, I never really even thought about it. Like, there's a lot of bolt-on stuff, superchargers and things like that, where that push has been the last 5-6 years of EO certified superchargers.
Absolutely.
Because also that's something that they notice when you open the hood.
Yes.
Like when you get your emissions tested and you got to get the visual inspection, it's under the hood, you see it. But the cams, that's great that you guys are investing in that certification.
Absolutely. You know, and that's a pretty much a strong benchmark for us to start this next year, and we're going to keep growing that line. Now, with fast fuel injection, we brought out – we didn't even debut it as a new product. We actually debuted it as a prototype. Okay. Our new high ram fast LSXR style manifold. It's going to be a polymer manifold to compete in the LS high ram market.
Okay.
And, you know, this thing is going to be amazing. We're so excited about it because we got so much just mention at it here at SEMA. You know, I've seen it all over the internet already. It is flooding social media.
Yeah.
You know, it's a polymer design. So, and with a polymer design, you know, over the, some of the, you know, some of the competition, you know, it's lighter. The heat sink is not as bad. And not to mention, it'll hold up to 100 pounds of boost from what I was told for some of the just preliminary testing.
Wow.
So pretty excited about that.
That is fantastic.
You can also, on this manifold, you can actually adjust runner links. So it's, you know, one-stop shop for a high RAM manifold that you can tune to your application. You don't have to buy X manifold for X application, but whenever you change that application, you got to buy a new manifold. This one you can actually adjust for your application as it changes, you know. So
is that the prototype, the piece behind
us?
Yeah. All right. We'll grab some pictures of that so you guys can see it.
It is so cool, and it's been
it
has been blowing up, you know, the social media, web forums. We've been getting emails and pictures, and everybody's trying to get information on it. We're like, April. It'll be in on the shelf in April.
I was taking pictures of it, but here's the thing. There's no, like, information card.
Exactly.
So you don't know it's all adjustable, and you can change the runners and stuff, which is pretty sweet.
You know, that's the thing about all of our fast manifold line is we made it to where it's a modular setup. We want it to where you can buy one manifold, but you don't have to keep buying new manifolds. You can literally swap the valve train out, change out your rear gears, and then you can adjust the runner links so you don't have to keep wasting money and buying more and more and more parts.
Yeah.
Tune your part. Put it in the customer's hands because you can literally go to the racetrack, pop the top of one of these manifolds, swap out the runners, and you never know. You might pick up the ET.
Yeah.
You know, pick up mile per hour. You never know.
Yeah, well, it looks good, too. So it's going to end up all over these SEMA cars next year.
Absolutely. You know, I saw the GM guys over here, too. So it's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, they were snooping around. What do you got? Yeah.
And, you know, last thing on the list that I'll touch base, TCI Automotive. Next year, they'll be celebrating 50 years. And this year, we kicked it off with a whole new line of transmissions. They're called our 4X transmission. It's going to be based off of our 6X line that's been very popular, our 6-speed automatic. But it's a 4-speed version. As we're going to have a mechanical as well as an electronic overdrive option. How do you get excited about this?
Yeah.
Well, here's what's exciting about it. The Ford market as well as the Mopar market, they do not have reliable overdrives that will handle to horsepower ratings. You know, horsepower and torque are going up and up and up as engineering and development keeps moving on and on. But they do not have reliable overdrive transmissions in that market. There's nothing out there. They just will not withstand what they're getting put to. So I hate to say it for the Ford Mopar guys, but some of the best transmissions on the market are GM.
Okay.
So we got a 700R with a removable bell housing that's all been remachined. So now we can bolt a 700R that's a mechanical overdrive that can literally handle up to 750, if not more, horsepower to your small block Fords, big block Fords, all the Mopar applications, anything you want to throw
at it. And the later model stuff, the modular.
Modulars, everything.
So you guys just have different bell housings and adapters to make it all work.
It's literally remachining and re-engineering the 700R to fit any and every application. And the great thing about it is it's a compact design. You know, some of the Fords and some of the Mopars, they've got a small transmission tunnel. Well, 700R fits perfect in those.
Yeah.
You know, and also we have the electronic version, the 4L60 for the 4L80. So we've got electric versions that somebody would prefer, but, you know, it's going to be pretty exciting with a 700R because, you know, the price point, it's going to be a more inexpensive overdrive transmission for those guys, and it'll handle whatever they throw at it.
That's it. It's already built. It's ready to go.
Yeah.
They can call you guys up and figure out which torque converter is going to be best for their car.
Absolutely.
Right?
You know, it's all there. It's a complete package deal.
The 6S transmission, that's a paddle shifter transmission.
Well,
or at least it's an optional kind of thing.
Yeah, it's optional.
Are you going to have that on the 4 as well?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah.
We have our Outlaw shifter, our Diablo shifter with button trigger, up and down shifting. So our 6X is the same way. We also have an AutoX transmission. A lot of people don't know about this. It's perfect for autocrossing. It's a 4L60E transmission with engine braking.
Oh, okay.
That does not exist. And what's neat about that is, you know, a lot of the electronic transmissions on the market, when you let off the gas, it just free spins. You don't really feel that engagement, you know, of the motor, you know. So those guys are looking for something in the automotive market. So the AutoX transmission that TCI carries fills that market. So now when they go into a corner, they can downshift on an electric transmission, and they actually have that engagement of the motor to do engine braking.
That's fantastic. You guys are doing such great stuff. SEMA's like a giant candy store, but the comp booth is always like the candy store within the candy store. Like, if you're building stuff, like, you could be a car guy, but if you're wrenching on stuff, This is the greatest booth ever. You got the coolest stuff.
Well,
everything is just
it.
Machined, and it's aluminum and metal, and yep. and that's what I love about this.
You know,
in here
we're not always about the flash. We just we try to make our products sell themselves.
Yeah, well, you guys are doing a fantastic job. Where should we check you out online? You have so many brands, but is there
we've got so many brands, but you can obviously go to thecompperformancegroup.com to see all of our great companies under one page, and then there that will carry on to our websites. You can also go to our social media pages, you know, Comp, Fast, TCI. Everybody has their own dedicated page, Instagram account, Twitter. So please reach out to us. Share with us your pictures. We'd love to see what our customers are driving and or building. Just engage us, and we'll reply back and have fun with you.
Okay, now I'm going to ask this one last thing. What are you doing on YouTube? Because the sounds of cams are the most important thing, right?
You know, there is like actually
Are you building a YouTube channel?
You know,
there is a
YouTube channel out there called Cam Sounds.
Okay.
Search Cam Sounds, and it's actually a YouTube channel out there where it's actually got part number camshafts from all over the industry that you can actually listen to.
Yeah.
So before you buy one, you could type in that part number or that grind number, you know, a 268HR, type that in YouTube, pull it up. You can actually hear what it sounds like before you buy it.
Yeah. You know, I've got, you and I have been working together for a long time. I've got stuff all over my Mustang Cobra from you guys.
Yeah.
The 93 Cobra, which was built to be sort of purity correct modifications. It's still got the original Cobra intake on it, but fully ported, and the GT40 heads all ported.
Oh, I know you spent way too much money on this
way
car.
Way too much. Yeah, way too much. And everybody on social media knows it. Everybody that's listening knows it. But I've got a Comp blower cam in there that I think you and I talked about. We picked out a cam that's going to work for that thing, and I just can't wait to hear it. Like, that's what I've been waiting for, is just to fire this thing up finally hear it.
You know, people just don't realize how much the valve train, how much of the camshaft means to your whole engine application, because, you know, that is literally the, you know, it's an air pump. You know, it's just like a mechanical lung, you know, for a hospital. We actually grind cams for those, for mechanical lungs.
Really?
Yeah, it's a camshaft. Mechanical lungs are just like engine motors. They just don't have fuel. So, you know, the camshaft is a heart of a motor, and it's always fun to see that heart thump in one way or the other. And, you know, it just ties everything together and brings it to life.
Trent, thank you so much. This is fun. Always great catching up with you, man.
All right, not a problem. You take care and have a great rest of the SEMA Show 2017.
Thanks. All right, guys, that's going to wrap up our SEMA coverage. Thank you so much for this. It's been exciting. Definitely go back and check out our Facebook page and our website. There's going to be tons of photos up there. Chris is going to be posting every day, not just from the booths that we went to, but the amazing collection of cars, trucks, everything you can imagine, Hunter. Has been crazy. And you'll probably hear more about this when we get back into the studio. But I think for me, my pick has been the Tucker, Rob Idas Tucker. Absolutely amazing. It's a completely hand-built recreation of a Tucker with a turbo Cadillac engine in it. That's pretty badass. The Ring Brothers cars, absolutely phenomenal. They continue to kill it every time. So definitely go through those galleries and check out all those photos. Well, before we take off, just a quick message from Geico. You know, everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off the dry cleaning, you pick up some milk. Well, add saving hundreds of dollars on car insurance to your list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes or less, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. That's the most rewarding to-do you do today. Geico.com. Guys, again, thank you so much. And for Matt the Moderator, DeAndrea, and Chris Loxamana, and Adam Carolla back in the studio, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.